I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
All right, Terry, what are we talking to the folks about today?
We got a short list today, but good stuff.
All right.
So, going to talk a little bit about some therapy dog stuff coming up. One is a big event that you've got, which is really very, very cool and sort of cutting edge in the therapy dog world.
Yep.
You want to start with that one?
Mm-hmm, let's do that.
All right.
I'm really excited. Murphy and I are getting ready to visit for the very first time a local domestic violence shelter. There are actually two different buildings. One is the shelter itself. The other is where the group therapy and the individual therapy happens for their clients. And this is a program that has never existed before, and we're kind of feeling our way through it. So we're going to start with going one night a week, and we're going to start with the group therapy sessions. And what we're assuming is that there will be parents who come with kids. The parents need to be in the group therapy session, the kids need to be occupied. And there will be other volunteers there to read them books or just kind of look out for them, but Murphy and I will also be there. So stay tuned, folks. We'll let you know how this goes. I'm very excited about it. I think that our therapy dogs can do this population of people a lot of good. Nothing like a dog to hug when your whole life has just gone up in smoke.
So, and this is, because you're always so modest on this therapy dog stuff. You do a lot with it, and I want to make sure that people recognize that. But there's not a lot of people even in this arena for therapy dog work. This is very unique.
Well, there are actually, at least in this area, there are probably a lot of therapy dog teams. And I think it's becoming more and more popular in the United States. There are three registering agencies in the country. There are people who take their dogs to nursing homes and stuff who don't have any registration with a therapy dog group. But what I do know is that there are populations of people that are not being visited by therapy dogs, and that's where I'm trying to reach out to. To my knowledge, dogs are not visiting folks in the domestic violence arena.
Well, that's really what I meant.
Yeah.
When you think of traditional stuff, you're thinking, and we've talked about this on our show, the
hospitals,
you know, VA hospitals, and then elderly care facilities. Sometimes it's assisted living, whatever that is. But domestic violence, I've never heard of that prior to what you've started to explore with it.
I think it's just a different avenue. Any kind of a hospital setting is very popular to go to, and I know that a lot the hospitals in this area, most of them love having therapy dogs come visit them, whether it's a population of children or even psych wards, that sort of thing. But no, to my knowledge, this is brand new territory. And if in fact it is, then we'll just create the protocol for programs within this arena. And I'm excited about it because I truly believe that there are lots of populations that we have not yet thought of that these dogs can help.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And we'll never have enough dogs, never have enough handlers, but the more people, the more we can reach out to people and help them when they're in crisis, the better.
Right, and you know, that's a great transition from this one to the next piece, which is crisis therapy dogs.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different arena, but the same type of thing, a little bit more obscure when you think of if you think of rings of therapy dog work, it's not the normal one, and they do a lot of that for things like at the hurricane centers after Katrina. They had rescue dogs down there. And it's just a place and a way to release some of that stress. The dog's there as just a friend.
Well, I call them comfort dogs. That's just kind of my own phrase for that sort of thing. There are crisis therapy dog teams who go all over the country, probably all over the world, after disasters. And both man-made and natural, after the Virginia Tech shootings, crisis therapy dog teams went there. And it's for the folks who have lived through whatever the horrible thing is. It's also oftentimes for first responders who live in the area, who are dealing with the ongoing insanity of, like, the shootings at the Tech or the hurricane on the Gulf Coast, you know, when you think about police officers and firefighters and rescue folks, I mean, they're just there. They're living it and breathing it every day. And sometimes just to have a dog to talk to or to hug can really make a huge difference for them. They have nowhere else to put that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are all kinds of versions of this, guys, and please, if you're interested in therapy dog work, learn more about it. You're welcome to email us at Bark Radio, and we'll head you off in some direction to get some training or just to learn more in general about what's required to be a good therapy dog team. It's one, in my world, I've been doing volunteer work of all sorts my whole life, and it's the best thing I've ever done. I so love therapy dog work because you see instant results. You can see it in a person's face.
Right, and that's an awesome point, because I had the opportunity, and you'll hear this on one of our special event recordings, where I shadowed Dee at the VA hospital, and there was a couple of people that were really amazing, but there was one old guy who went from very sad, maybe kind of introverted in his emotions. And he saw that dog, and Murphy was up there, and he just lit up, man. He was ear-to-ear smiles. And it was so cool. I mean, just sitting there petting the dog made his day. Might have made his week or month, even.
It does. And what makes me so happy is that the medical community has embraced this. And I don't know that that was the case 10 years ago. They are really, I think, coming to understand how dogs can change a room, change a person's day, change how quickly a person heals. It's not just lowering blood pressure. It just changes that person's demeanor. It can take someone with dementia or someone with a head injury and maybe take them back or bring them forward into the moment or just allow them that smile. I mean, I've seen these guys with terrible head injuries who are in physical therapy and maybe all they can move is their hand. And yet they will smile when that hand is on my dog's head. Yeah. And try to say his name if they're in speech therapy. You know, it's huge.
Yeah.
And the thing that's so beautiful, too, is that my Murphy, again, is a chocolate lab. He weighs 90 pounds. And he is meant for this job. He's 4 years old, and his demeanor, he's a puppy most of his life. He's just a big old goober, but his demeanor changes when we go in to do any kind of therapy dog work. He knows the difference, and he knows how to be with folks, and it's just being sweet and gentle and, you know, giving a paw or giving a kiss or whatever, or just standing and being petted, and he can be petted for ever, it seems. I mean, it's just like, he's like, it's my job, Mom, and I dig it.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just good stuff.
It is really good stuff, and the dogs, Murphy, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of dogs do it, but I've seen some dogs, and Murphy just, he is so into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you're done, he crashes hard. You can tell
mm-hmm.
he's filtering that, and just, okay.
It does have an impact on dogs. You guys do need to understand that. I mean, and I don't know what scientific fact this is based in, and I don't care, but I've seen it in working dogs. I've seen it in search and rescue dogs, too, especially if they are cadaver dogs and they found a body. They respond to it emotionally.
Yeah.
And yes, Murphy, when he's finished with a visit, and I don't have him visit for more than an hour and a half, and it's usually closer to an hour, because I know that's kind of his limit. And when we're done, he does crash. He's ready to go to sleep in the back of the car and go home and take another nap.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was neat. And I do believe there's a lot of focus there for the dog, a lot
mm-hmm.
of energy being put out to
mm-hmm.
to make these differences in
mm-hmm.
people's lives. It's really amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. Now what?
Now, we got a couple of neat sites and a couple things going on we want to talk about. We got what I call Austin to Boston, but it's two dogs, 2,000 miles, and this was something that Dee came across, and it's to talk about cancer awareness.
Oh, it's fabulous. the fellow who's doing the walking with his two dogs has lost at least one dog and maybe more than one dog to cancer. And he's not happy about the information he was able to gather. I believe that's part of the issue here. Wants to know, you know, what research is going on? What are the causes of cancer in dogs and other animals? So, yeah, he kind of just put everything in storage and he started walking. And they're blogging everything. They're on Facebook and Twitter. Got a website. The website is twodogs2000miles.org.
.org, yep. Mm-hmm.
Follow them, guys, and encourage them and start a dialogue about this. My heart dog, Max, died 4.5 years ago, and he died of lymphoma. And so, yeah, I want to know what's going on, too.
Yeah, I think it's great. And you'll see more from Bark Radio on this. We've got one of our helper people doing some significant research for us to try to figure out exactly what's the real research that's going on and what's, you know, smoke and mirrors.
Right. Where are we?
Yeah, and so we'll be reporting on that as we go. We'll probably have a mini series of episodes, I think, mm-hmm. for lack of a better way to put it, because it's going to be more on what we can do in one show.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have a lot of data on this. So yeah. Stay tuned for that, especially if it's impacted your life at some point.
Now, are we going to go to, another really cool website, another cool project.
A new cool project. This is one that I've gotten into, and it's called the Cool Vest Project, and it's for military working dogs. And a lot of folks don't realize how many dogs are active in the military. And there's, at any given time in Iraq and Afghanistan in the current war that we're in, there's 300 active dogs working over there as bomb sniffing, weapons identification, those types of things. And you might guess that it's very hot over there. And dogs do better when they have the proper equipment to work, and the military doesn't buy any of that equipment. So what the Cooling Vest Project does is there's a type of vest that the dog wears that it basically takes a special ice pack that keeps the cool in there for about 12 hours, sometimes a little longer. And it's made of a material that freezes very, very fast. So 2 hours in the freezer, and they get a full day's worth of work out of
Excellent.
It.
Excellent.
So this lady, Starline Nunnally, and we'll be talking to either her or her son, who's actually a helicopter pilot over there, about the program. But they've got together to buy these vests. They buy Mutluks for the dog's pads, because a lot of people don't realize how sensitive the pads are to heat. And if it's 110 degrees out and they're walking on blacktop, that's burning their feet. And that's rough, no pun intended, on the dog. Sorry about that. I didn't go there on purpose, but it was a pun. The other thing that the Cooling Vest Project does is buy doggles. And these are you'll probably see Suri in them because she has a pink pair. But these are goggles made specifically for dogs. And there's a lot of windstorms in the desert, so sand's blowing, they keep the dogs out of there. So all these things combined make the dogs very efficient workers, which means that more of our brothers and sisters and children are coming home safe because these dogs are doing their job, but you want to give the dogs the equipment to do the job correctly. So,
yeah, guys, support this one. They take donations of money online.
It's called, and the website is supportmilitaryworkingdogs.org. There's Starline's information's up there.
Great organization.
It is a great organization. I also do some stuff directly in the Virginia area for her. So if there's something that you want to talk directly about, you can contact me through Bark Radio or you can contact her. Either way, it's all the same. Like I said, we've got a great interview that'll be coming up shortly.
Excellent. Yeah, this is a good one, guys. Let's help those military working dogs. Yep.
All right.
All right, what else?
Well, now it's soapbox time.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, I know. So puppy mills.
No.
Puppy mills.
Now this is not going to be the show where we give you statistics or any specifics. We're just going to say how much we don't like them.
Pretty much. Let me back up on that. So Dee and I had an interesting conversation, and we both are dog people, and we both seem to be noticing more activities in trying to get puppy mills shut down. And we're certainly behind that. I don't believe in the whole puppy mill theory, and I don't think any of that works, and it's all greed based. But what got us talking was we didn't know if it was really getting more active, or if it was just that we were more aware.
Right. So we need to figure that out. I mean, it's not, we're again going to go tooling around and use our little research assistant to help us, you know, learn what really is going on in this year compared to 5 years ago, 10 years ago with puppy mills. Are we shutting more down? Are there more to shut down? I don't know. Puppy mills like dog fighting. There's no place in our society for either one of them. They are both cruel to animals, and I will do anything in my power to make both of those things go away. And again, stay tuned. I mean, you know, you may see us on the evening news because we just went and rescued some dogs or something, you know?
I wouldn't put it past us. But
well, after we get the dogs out. Okay. But, you know, y'all, remember that if you see puppies in a pet store, you are probably seeing puppy mill puppies. Do not buy pups from a pet store ever, 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 ever. Buy them from a rescue group. Please buy them from a breed rescue group, but never buy them from a pet store.
Right. Or, yeah, that's the key thing is adopt, don't shop.
Because that's right.
You can get the same dog or the same breed of dog at any number of locations without supporting this puppy mill slave trade, basically.
And understand that with puppies from puppy mills, you don't know what behavior and medical issues you're going to get. But you're going to get one or the other or both, and some of them are horrible. I've seen really bad behavior issues with puppy mill dogs just as a trainer, and they're hard to fix. And, you know, they're just there. That's the baggage they come with. And you don't know it until sometime later.
Right, until they start to grow a little bit. Yeah. It's a bad, bad situation. And I know that some of the stuff I've been following, there are some states looking at legislation to shut down puppy mills.
Good.
It's certainly not soon enough, and it's certainly not going to be enough total.
Right.
But Midwestern states are looking at this, not shutting down breeders, but puppy mills.
Good.
So there's going to be a criteria.
Well, there's a difference. And, you know, anybody who's not blind can see the difference. All you need to do is get on site to one of these places.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people who do that, I just don't understand them. But they need to not be in an animal business of any kind.
Yeah.
And they should probably in jail. Yeah.
I'll
agree. It is greed. Yep. Bad, bad people.
Bad people.
And with that.
All right. I think that's an episode in the box.
All right.
Bye-bye, guys.
Later.